everyone that God saves, he calls to serve. Serving the Lord should be our lifestyle as Christians. The Bible says, and whatever you do, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to man, for you serve the Lord Christ. In other words, in a general sense, all of us as Christians should have a servant's heart. We should have a willing heart to be helpful, to be ready to serve, to be ready to meet the needs of people, to get outside of ourselves and start to be invested in the lives of other people. And so, in a general sense, we should just be doing what we know to do, to obey God and have that servant's heart. But God also calls us to serve Him and His kingdom in specific ways. As you and I are doing the things that we should be doing, He will give us an assignment. And it may not be just one assignment, but it might be one at a time assignments. Let me speak for just a moment about doing what you know to do. We should be doing some things. First of all, God has given all of us at least one spiritual gift. It would behoove us to know what God has put inside of us, because that spiritual gift or gifts, those gifts, become the basis of what He will primarily use us to do. Secondly, God has not only given us gifts to allow us to have what we need to do what we should be doing, He has also given us gifted people. The gifts of God to the church, in Ephesians chapter 4, He gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And so what you should be doing, what we all should be doing, is being in the Word and in prayer and be studious and diligent to be hearing from God. Who am I? What has He made me to be? What are my gifts, or what is my primary gift? However you want to look at it. And I should submit myself to those gifted people God has given to the church, because God has placed them here to equip you. And so you need to be taking advantage of the equippers. And I believe there can be many in the church, not just the lead pastor. I believe that God can put into the church many people who are called to help equip the saints. It would behoove us then to take our service for Christ serious enough to avail myself of what God has supplied in every way. Well, many of God's choicest servants hesitated to accept their assignments. I think of Moses. Moses had a slew, is that a word? A slew of excuses when God gave him his assignment, which was to lead a nation of people out of bondage. A pretty big assignment. But God had already been noticing Moses. Moses was a man of faith. He was on the backside of the desert, keeping the flocks and everything. He had been running for his life. You know the story probably. And all of a sudden, God appeared and gave him an assignment. Okay. When people of God in the past have hesitated to say yes to an assignment, whatever it might be, I believe that behind that hesitancy might be a question something like this. Do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes to do this? I think this is especially true for men. We men don't want to do anything if we think we're going to fail. We want to be successful. God's put it within us. It's a leadership thing. It's a man thing. It can become an evil ego, but it's just natural. And so a lot of times we just want to know, do I have what it takes? And I spoke to you last week about how God the Father affirmed His Son when He was baptized. And He said, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." And I asked you last Sunday, have you heard God the Father say that to you? Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ, the Bible says. And God would speak into your life and say, "You are my son. You are my daughter. And in you I am well pleased," meaning because of Jesus. Come on, folks. We're well pleasing in the sight of God. You see, And now I've been affirmed. That's an affirmation. Men especially, but girls too, women, need to be affirmed by dads and especially in moms. That's another message for another time. But it begs the question about this whole issue of, do I have what it takes? And behind that question, I believe, is a fear. Because if I am not able, or if I don't have what it takes, I will fail. And because I fear failure, I can go through much anxiety in my spirit, which interferes with what God wants to do through me and through you. When I leave the church sometimes here in the evening and I'm headed home, I like to catch up and see how the tribe is doing if it's that late. And that's on AM radio. And so as I get to a certain place up here just next to Elm Road and I begin to turn off of 305, the electrical wires or whatever, interfere. And instead of hearing Tom Hamilton saying something or whatever, all I hear is, you know what I mean? And that's really annoying. Oh, it's very annoying. But the point is this, I can't hear. I don't get the reception anymore. Something is interfering. Anxiety and fear in your hearts interfere. It's the spiritual going on in our hearts. We don't hear God clearly. And so this really needs to be addressed. And what I want to do this morning is to talk about the fear of failure, especially as it relates to our service to God, to the Lord. Now, talking about this fear of failing, it can keep you from accepting your assignment, whatever it might be. What if I mess up? Kind of an idea. This fear can also cause you to quit your assignment. And it might go something like this. I'm messing up. This isn't working. And then the purpose that God intended to accomplish through you is left unfulfilled. Turn to Joshua chapter 1 with me this morning. Joshua chapter 1. And I want us to consider again the fear of failure as it relates to our service to the Lord and serving in His kingdom and fulfilling our assignments. Before I go any further, I want to say, if you're not already doing what you know you need to do, and the fear of failure can even keep you at that level, you're not going to be receiving any assignment. What you need to do is to develop a servant's heart and just begin to be a servant. Are you with me? Anybody with me? Yes. Just become a servant. Do what you can. Do what you know to do. Enter in. Serve humanity, etc. But then our assignments will come. Notice Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you. And so I said, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, towards the west, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now consider with me that Joshua had been faithful in serving God and his people as Moses' assistant. Moses' assignment was to literally take the people of God out of bondage and lead them into the promised land. And Joshua was assisting him. So he already had an assignment. But the point is that he's going to get another assignment. And I want us to consider, whether it's our first assignment or our 30th assignment, let us consider what the Lord has to say to us this morning. Now, I believe that Joshua, as Moses' assistant, fully believed that Moses would be the one to take them into the promised land. Are you with me? Okay, I want to make sure you're awake. So here's Joshua. He's being faithful. As a matter of fact, he'd been faithful for 40 years, all through the wilderness journey. And now, all of a sudden, he is thrust into the primary leadership role of this task. God basically said to him, Moses, my servant, is dead, and you're taking his place. A daunting task indeed. I wonder how it affected him. Well, based on what God said to him in the passage we just read, it seems obvious to me that he had some fears, some anxiety about taking on this role. Three times in the text, God said, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Three times God speaks to his servant and says, don't fear. Be courageous. Be strong. Why did he say it three times? Well, you might say he wanted to make sure Joshua knew it. Yes, but I also believe it's because he knew Joshua as a human being, as a man, might have some fear or anxiety about accepting this assignment. Could it be that Joshua's fear was connected to his assignment might have been, do I have what it takes? It's interesting to me what God had to say to Joshua as he called him to this assignment. Basically, God gives Joshua clear instructions about what he's supposed to do. And that's what he'll do with us. When he gives you an assignment, it'll be very clear what he wants you to do. Oh, you may not know every nuance, but the general idea, the basic idea of what God is giving you to do, an assignment, he'll make it very clear. But not only did God make the assignment clear, but God also gave clear promises to Joshua as to what he would do. So this is how it was going to work. God said, Joshua, this is what I want you to do. And as you do that, I want to tell you what I'm going to do. Do you realize that we cannot fulfill our assignment on our own? We cannot fulfill our assignment without God, but God will not fulfill that assignment without you and me. And so God calls Joshua and says, you do this. And here's what I'm going to do. It's a cooperative effort, praise the Lord. Now notice God's instructions to Joshua. Now as we go through all these things, I want you to consider Joshua's prior experience. And I will bring it to light as we go through this. In other words, God didn't just appear and give him this huge undertaking. He had been preparing Joshua for years for this assignment. By giving him smaller assignments or giving him things to do. And guess what? Joshua did those things faithfully. And now all of a sudden, here comes a bigger assignment. And I do believe that in some way, if we will just simply be faithful to do what we know to do, and God gives us an assignment, we do it well, he'll give us another assignment. But I wonder this morning, how many people in the body of Christ, how many people in the church are stuck in many things that could be done or not being done, humanly speaking, because we won't accept our assignments. We're not fulfilling our assignments. And so God is speaking and he says, look, if you will do what I tell you, I will be with you. So what was the task that God gave to Joshua? Oh, nothing too big. Take the people into the land. At this time, there were probably between 2 and 3 million people that had come out of Egypt. Maybe a little less than that. A lot of them had died. But anyway, somewhere a couple of million people. Notice he says, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan. So they're right at the edge of the Jordan River. The promised land is within sight. You and all this people to the land which I am giving them. Now the previous generation had been at this same spot 38 years before this. And guess who was there? Joshua. And he was there. He was one of the spies that was sent over. He's been in the land already as a spy about 38 years before this. He was there at that time. Notice the next thing that God told him to do. There's only two things God told him to do. Here's your assignment, and here's something else you must do. Look at verses 7 and 8. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it. Do not deviate from my word to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That is to make it your focus, make it your life, my word, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So God told Joshua two things. Here's your assignment, and there'll be more things that I'll tell you about it, but this is what I want you to do. And here is the main thing that I ask of you. Do not deviate from my law, my word, and make my word and what I have spoken that's been recorded, make it the very focus of your life. And if you do this, then you will have good success. Well, not only did God tell Joshua what to do, but God made some promises to Joshua. How many of you are glad for the promises of God? I mean, the promises of God forms a foundation for my faith. I don't just set out to do something, but rather, whatever God asks me to do, there will be promises to undergird what I'm supposed to do. Are you with me? Okay, so notice what he said to Joshua. First of all, he said to him in verses 2 and 3, I have already given you the land. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. Notice, as I said to Moses. In other words, this was not new information for Joshua. He was there 40 years before when God was taking them out of Egypt and towards the promised land. And God said to Moses, and Joshua was his assistant. He heard it all. He was there. He had heard God say, I'm giving you this land. This land is yours. And now God is repeating it 38 years later, approximately, maybe 40 years. This land is yours. You have not possessed it yet, but know this, Joshua, that I've already given it to you. This is my promise to you. Promise number 2, verse 5, no man will be able to stand against you. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. In other words, he's saying to Joshua, and keep in mind how this would relate to you and me, as you possess the land, that would be another way of saying fulfilling my assignment and doing what God has asked me to do. As you possess the land, you will face strong opposition. But know this, Joshua, that they will not be able to stand before you. This is my promise to you. And then there was a third promise. He said, as I was with Moses, pause a minute. What had Joshua seen God do through Moses? Think about it. His mentor, the man that God had called to lead them through the desert. He had seen how he had this amazing relationship with God. He talked with God face to face. You know all those, hopefully know those stories. And now God says, the same way I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. So he's building on Joshua's experiences. It's like David. How did he know to go and fight Goliath? Because he had killed the lion and he had killed the bear. And those experiences prepared David to deliver Israel from the Philistines and kill the giant. But the same is true for all of us. Whether you realize it or not, God has been preparing you all of your life for your assignments. He's been preparing me, all of us, for what he wants us to do and what he wants you to do. This is the way he operates. And as Joshua believed God, as Joshua believed God's promises by faith, this is what would give him the strength and courage he would need to lead the people to possess the land. And so it is with us. God's promises to you and to us, but to you, he will have promises unique to your assignment. I believe it. There will be something in God's word, many things in God's word, that will undergird your assignment and what God has asked you to do. Look for them and listen for them. I want to tell you about my own experience. When God gave me my assignment in October of 2006, before there was a prayer movement, we had no money at this church. We couldn't even keep our daycare open. We were at the point of what in the world? But God spoke to me about bringing his transforming presence and power to our region, and he called me on a hill in Holmes County, just as clearly as anything, that I would have some leadership role in it. And I remember having a sense of fear, not that I wanted to run away, but the weight of what that might mean. But my point is this. Since then, as I'm reading the Bible, see, I know my assignment, and it includes other things, assignments. But as I read the Word of God, scriptures will just leap off the page into my heart that apply to my situation. Have you ever been there? It's the most exciting thing in the world. Because whether it be leading this church or leading the prayer movement or doing anything that God has assigned me to do, it is amazing to me how there are specific scriptures. They all speak to me, but boy, some of them really speak to me. And it undergirds the calling and what God has asked me to do. And I just want to go on record as saying, God will do the same thing for you. And notice in verse 9, that the Lord repeats again what Joshua is to do one more time, but this time he adds two things that Joshua is not to do. Listen to the verse. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? That's the repeat. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So I want to break down a little bit these two things that Joshua needed to overcome and be sure that they didn't overcome him, to be afraid and to be dismayed. And I believe these things are crucial for Joshua, but for all of us as well. First of all, he said, do not be afraid. The word means to tremble or to be in dread. To tremble and be in dread. You see, God had given them the land, it was theirs, but they must possess it. Possessing the land would be a time of conquest. The word conquest means to assume control of the territory by the use of military force. That's conquest. In other words, God did not say, okay, go into the land, it's yours. And when you go into the land, all of your enemies will just give up and give you the land. They'll give you roses and candy and maybe whatever else and say, we're gone, it's all yours. No, they're going to oppose you, you see. They're not going to give up without a fight. They're not going to simply say, okay, it's yours. You must take it through conquest. These foes, by the way, that stood in the way were very strong. I want to take you back to 38 years before this. Because they've been wandering for about 2 years of the 40, they came to Kadesh Barnea. Joshua was one of the 12 spies to go in and spy out the land. And he came back and gave, with Caleb, they gave a positive report. But the 10 that did not believe gave the following words back in Numbers chapter 13. Listen carefully. They said, we went into the land where you sent us, It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. As a matter of fact, they said it took two men to carry a cluster of grapes. That's back in the Bible. I mean, this is like a really good crop. It's just like God said. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you go to verse 33 of that same chapter, we read this. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak. In other words, the descendants of Anak had a hereditary trait of being really, really big people. I mean, tall, strong people. And then the spies added this, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. The conquest of the land was not going to be a cakewalk. It wasn't going to be easy. Fulfilling your assignment, Joshua will not be just walk in and it's yours. You must take the territory back through force. Are you getting this? Okay. There were giants in the land. People of great stature, living in formidable, fortified cities. Intimidating indeed, humanly speaking. But the promise of God was what? No man shall be able to stand before you. So here's Joshua. He knows who's in that land. He's been in there. He heard it 38 years before. They're still there. Walled cities, big people, strong people. And the other spies said, we can't. But Joshua was there. He knows what is awaiting him. They are indeed formidable foes. Yet God said, they will not. Listen, they will not be able to stand before you. That's what God said. And God said that to Joshua, and Joshua believed God. The previous generation had succumbed to fear, had they not? Had they not? Yes. They said, we are not able. But Joshua and his generation of people believed God and by faith said, we are able. And why did they say that? Because God said so. You know how you're going to be able to fulfill your assignment? By faith in God who said, you can. I will be with you. The first foe that they encountered, as you know, when they first went into the land, which happened right after this, was the walled city of Jericho, a great fortified city. And these people trusted God and followed his directives. You remember what it was? Go in and walk around, don't say a word. For 6 days. Can you imagine the people in Jericho looking out and saying, you people are weird. Who are these people? And then God said on the seventh day, go around 7 times and blow your ram's horns, and the walls will fall down. You think your assignment is funny? You think it's difficult? Do you think it's different or odd, possibly? All you need to do is obey God. That's it. All you have to do, all we have to do, is just trust Him and obey Him. Because we believe what He has said. When the walls fell down, it just proved what? Faith really does work. Faith in God works. Say it with me. Faith in God works. One more time. Faith in God works. It's the way of the Spirit. It is the way that God operates. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in the New Testament. For a great and an effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. There are many adversaries. A preacher from back a few years ago, I don't remember his name, but I'll never forget it. He said this, the door of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. It is never going to be a cakewalk to serve the Lord. There will always be opposition. There will always be those who are against us, even our enemy, the evil one. But God is with us. And when He gives an assignment and we fulfill it, He will give us the victory. And for us today, isn't it not true that Christ has won the victory? The land is ours. But there are giants in our land, are they not? There are giants in our land that oppose us. And just as it was for Joshua, these giants and these enemies will not just give up their territory. The territory must be taken by force. You say, oh, well, where's my shield and my spear and my bomb and my guns? No, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, our weapon is faith. Faith in God, that's it. And if we trust the Lord and believe His promises, we are strengthened. We are made strong in Him. Can you hear the Holy Scriptures saying that? Be strong and very courageous. Do you remember the Scripture that says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Our defeated foe, Satan, he's defeated. Do you realize that? Jesus has crushed him. The Bible says that he has destroyed all of his works. Yeah, he's still walking around. And he can still try to intimidate. And that's what I want you to hear. There's not a thing he can do to stop us except we do not, or except that we start to believe his lies. His roar is from a toothless lion trying to scare us and intimidate us. He has no power over us because Jesus Christ has broken that power through his death and glorious resurrection. So what is he trying to do? Frighten us and intimidate us into hesitation and shrinking back. But we are not to fear, because in Christ we win the battle. We win. I said we win. Got to start believing God. Opposition, yes. Setbacks here and there, sure. But what God has asked us to do, if we are faithful to do it and believe His word, in whatever sense it is meant to be, you will have good success. We will have good success. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. Our helper He, amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name. From age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. We tremble not for him. His rage we can endure. For lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. This word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go. This mortal life also, the body they may kill. But God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Forever. That's who we're a citizen in. This forever, eternal, unshakable kingdom of God. That's who we are. Let us not be intimidated. Let us not have a spirit of hesitancy. Let us not shrink back, but rather move forward in faith. One more thing I need to mention. Not only did God say to Joshua, do not be afraid, he said, don't be dismayed. What does that mean? Well, dismayed is anxiety and distress caused by something unexpected. Okay, Lord, here's my assignment. We're going through. Whoops, something happens I wasn't expecting. And it wasn't just that it was unexpected, it was difficult. Do not believe that your assignment will not have this aspect to it. Disappointing things can happen. As a matter of fact, they more than likely will. What happened to Joshua and his people? Well, at Jericho, the people had won a great victory. But in the next step of their conquest, they suffered defeat at Ai. I pick up the reading at Joshua chapter 7, verse 5. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, listen to this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. One translation reads this way, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? To destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? God's answer. There's sin in the camp. So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. Pause for a minute. Just let me insert this. God had told them in this particular case that they were not to take anything and keep anything. It was to be a complete victory. The people were to die, and that's another sermon for another time. These were not good people. It was God's judgment. But they were not to take anything from that booty. They were not to take it. God said, it's all accursed. It's to be destroyed. And God said, for they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. It was a Babylonian garment and a wedge of gold. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, God is still speaking, but turned their backs before their enemies because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. The conditions for victory were very clear. What did God told Joshua when he said, this is your assignment? Do not deviate from my word. Do not deviate in any way from my word. Those conditions for success had been violated, and the accursed thing and those who had taken it were to be eliminated. Now, this was a great test for Joshua's leadership. It will be a great test for us as we fulfill our assignments. God told him what was wrong. He revealed the problem, the sin problem. He gave Joshua the solution to the problem. Joshua trusted God's word, and even though it was difficult, he obeyed God's directives. I'm just about done. Listen to my next statement. Therefore, the only thing that can keep us from fulfilling our assignments from the Lord is to refuse to trust Him and to refuse to obey Him. There's sin in the camp. May the Holy Spirit of God speak to our hearts. I have sensed for some time a spirit of hesitancy. maybe a bit of discouragement. But God is speaking to us today as individuals and as a church. Fulfill your assignment. And take into consideration that God will show us if there's anything in me or you or us. Is there sin in the camp? And sin can take on many forms. Unbelief itself is a sin. Our unwillingness to trust God is a grievous thing to his heart. But I believe the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to our hearts today. First of all, maybe there's some of you here today and you're at a position where your first step would just simply be starting to do what you know to do, and you've not been investing yourself in the lives of other people. And maybe fear has gotten a grip on you. I don't have what it takes. Or maybe you're just absorbed with yourself. I don't know. But if that's the case, I am calling you out. The Holy Spirit is calling you out. Come and repent before God and say, I'm going to enlist. Here I am, Lord, use me. For others of us, maybe we're already there. Maybe we've made that dedication. But maybe discouragement or fear is causing us to say no to an assignment or give up on an assignment or whatever. And God, the Holy Spirit, is simply saying, come on, church. Come on, my people. Come before me. Repent. Get rid of the sin. And I will take you to places you've never been before. Because as you fulfill my assignments to you individually and to you as a body of believers, which will always connect, by the way, with the larger body in this region, watch what God will do. Let's stand for prayer, please. If God has spoken to your heart in some clear way, I just ask that you'd come and join me at the front as we're going to pray together. And dedicate ourselves afresh to be his people and to follow his directives and to fulfill our assignments. Especially if anxiety and fear has crept into your heart or discouragement of any kind, then come on up and let's pray together. Even if it's just a little bit of a struggle, let's get rid of all of it. Amen? Let's get rid of all the fear that is associated with fulfilling our assignments in the work of the Lord. Wow. Jesus. I sense your heart, Lord God. I have sensed it for so long. Of what you can and do through your people. And I include myself, oh God. May we come this morning asking you to take away every fear, all anxiety, and that we might purpose in our hearts today to do the will of God. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Dan, I'm not sure I even know Christ. I'm not sure that I'm in the game yet, so to speak. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you could come up here as well, and we'll get somebody to talk with you and pray with you. But Jesus loves you. He died for you. He rose again. And he wants to be your personal Savior. He's knocking at your door. If that's you this morning, you could come up as well before we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I'm going to pray a general prayer. Father, deliver us from the fear of failure that holds us back from fulfilling our destined purpose, which you have laid out for us. We declare that your word is true, and we purpose to walk in it completely. Forgive us for shrinking back, for not completing the work you gave us to do, grant unto us the faith to propel us forward and to fulfill the assignments that you have given to us. And Father, if there are any assignments that are not even being heard yet because of the interference that is in the lives of your people, caused by our unbelief, our fear, and anxiety, take it away. May faith arise, God, in the hearts of your people. No matter what we've seen, no matter how discouraging it has been, we have an assignment. Help us to fulfill it. We do not choose to put our faith and trust even in past success or past failure, but rather, we choose now to say, oh, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And we put our faith and trust in you and in you alone. And now may we be ready to respond to whatever you say to us this morning so that we can move forward as a pastor, as leaders and ministry leaders and the people of this congregation, that we will become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. That we must take possession of the land by force. We cannot be passive. God is saying, listen, my children, you cannot just sit there. You cannot just passively wait for something to happen. I'm calling you to join me in my work. I want to do it through you. For we have said this so many times, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or even think, according to the power that works in us, that works through us, that works through us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Father, it's all for your honor, it's all for your glory that we pray these things. Now, Holy Spirit, seal these things to the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.